Switch it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show tonight here. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 on the heels of the wheelhouse. And thanks to the guys who are out on the road. And for promo on our show here, 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. Mexico and Jamaica have gotten underway in Jamaica. Mexico in need of a good game, no question about that. Later on tonight, the United States at El Salvador. That one is a little bit intriguing with former U.S. international Hugo Perez, the head coach of El Salvador. That will be at the Cuscatlan Stadium, which is a place I've called many memorable games there, and I've had some pretty wild, I would say, and amazing experiences in that facility. I know over the years I've talked about some of those trips and, you know, how 60,000 people in a stadium that's just full concrete, all wearing blue jerseys of a national team country. They're not lining up for the sushi, is all I'm going to say. We got a lot to talk about here tonight. We got a couple of really, really good interviews. Houston Dynamo GM Pat Onstad is going to join me in the next segment. And the one after that, we will take phone calls in segment two. So if you want to talk to the general manager tonight, you have a question, Pat has been nice enough to come on and do that. And honestly, I'm not speaking on behalf of Pat. But every time we have a general manager or somebody associated with the Dynamo in here taking calls with fans, you are doing great community outreach and you are having great connection with your fan base. And this is something the Dynamo certainly are in very much need of ahead of Hector Herrera coming, is to continue to be transparent and get people connecting, you know, with the fans. You got to take it to the fans now. Yes, you're going to get a bump when Hector Herrera gets here. I think you're going to get a couple thousand more per game. How are you going to support him? These are all things we're going to ask Pat Onstad here tonight. Dynamo in the Charities Cup had a 1-0 win over Atletico San Luis. And, of course, they are playing tonight again in San Antonio against San Antonio FC. So we have Managing Director Tim Holt, who's been at San Antonio with the Spurs organization, which encompasses San Antonio FC. So he will be on the show tonight. We have David Fletcher from Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. We're going to go in a little deeper on how you get Manchester City to come to Houston, along with Club America, these two giant brands, and maybe some of the behind the scenes on that. The U.S. beat Granada 5-0 up in Austin, 4 goals for Jesus Ferreira. And today, Andrew, how about this one? Hungary 4, England 0. Salai with 2, Nagy with 1, and Gazdag with 1. All names you do not know that you're listening right now, most likely unless you're Hungarian. But Hungary put a beatdown on England. England has 1 goal in 4 games, which is pretty amazing. Germany beats Italy 5-2. I would not say that was Donnarumma's best game ever. So, U.S. fans, just stop the nonsense now. Oh, my God, that means we're going to beat England. This will be a different England at the World Cup. On the other hand, if there's a lesson to be taken out of this, they are beatable, and I think the U.S. players already know that. So, there you go. What did you think of that result when you saw it, Andrew?
Oh, I was stunned by it. But I think you also have to take into account the fact that you've had a lot of the players on this team have had this, you know, very, very long, difficult Premier League season. And they haven't exactly had any sort of break following that season. They just sort of hopped almost straight into Nations League. You had like a quick week respite, and then all of a sudden it was back to it. I think that you're going to see a different England come the World Cup.
Of course we will. But, you know, cry me a river. Come on. The Hungarians were playing too. I don't know how much time they had off. I know you're going to get Premier League fans. Oh, but, you know, the Premier League's more pressure and all that. Well, this is just the landscape that's out there. Okay, if you want less pressure, go play in Hungary then, if that's what you want. This comes with the territory. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Man, we have so much to talk about today. Monster deal with Major League Soccer and Apple TV. This is pretty huge. I don't know if you touch base on that much, Andrew, but this is something that's pretty remarkable. So MLS Apple TV deal was announced today. Now, at one point, it was dead, and I came on the show and said, well, the last thing I heard, it was off. It's a 10-year deal. It begins in 2023. It's worth about, I think, something like $285 million a year. We all know that sports viewing is become very different in the last 3 to 5 years. It's moving in a different direction. It has moved so much to the streaming platform. Apple and MLS are going to partner now, and this is going to give MLS a huge platform to distribute their games and content globally. This is about distribution in a lot of ways. The ability to distribute the content globally on every single Apple device you got, whether it's your watch, whether it's Apple News, whether it's a gaming system, whether it's a PC, whether it's a laptop, whether it's through your television set. Everything is in one place. And Don Garber, the commissioner of Major League Soccer, is going to get a lot of props for this in a lot of ways. And they made it very clear during the press conference that this was not a traditional television deal, that this was a partnership to help grow and build the base globally. Mostly Wednesday and Saturday night games with full pre, halftime, and postgame shows. So you'll have a different crew on a pregame show, halftime, and then you'll have two people calling the game. The production crew, I think, is going to be centralized. There's a lot that's still not known, right? But they're going to do like whip-around shows. They're going to do everything to provide as much content as possible. They say this will make it easier for the fan to consume, obviously with Apple as a global driver of content. So you know what that means. That means if you want to see Eddie Robinson, Glenn Davis, Danny Rodriguez, or Cindy Bourbano on a local soccer broadcast, you will not see that next year. That is dead. That'll be dead in every single market. Now, you might see teams go to a lot of radio because radio will then give you still that local feel. So there's a lot of this that still has to be figured out. There's other content that the pro teams can build around these games in their own market through their own channels. But MLS teams are also going to get enriched by this deal as well. One place, one device, huge accessibility to content, lots of content, and a big, big, big belief and bet that the audience for MLS is going to continue to grow and that it can continue to grow globally. And they made an example on the press conference of okay, so let's say there's the unveiling of a Colombian striker that signed for New York City FC or the Houston Dynamo for that interest. And they'll see it in real time in Colombia. It'll happen down there and it'll happen through Apple. Streaming at ESPN975.com. Of course, the call-in number 713-780-3776. If you have any thoughts on the MLS Apple TV deal, how you feel about it. This will give, certainly, as a centralized league, this money is going to be shared by all the teams. I think it's something like $8 million potentially will go to each team. These are all numbers that aren't confirmed. These are things that you just kind of hear throughout the day. So MLS and the Apple TV deal, that's a big one. So commentators like me are wondering what the future are going to be like. And this is all over the country. And we're all hopefully going to be involved down the road. Okay. Pat Onstad comes up in the next segment. Will we get the World Cup Thursday? Somebody out there who's got a take on that. 713-780-3776. Can Dallas and Houston get it both? You know, there's a lot of ways to position this. When you're a committee in all these different markets, you got to come up with your selling points. One here has been the cluster with Monterey. And, you know, you've heard that over and over. Monterey, Houston, and Dallas gets it. Geographically, it makes it a great thing. We got a dome stadium. That's an advantage due to weather and television. The advantage for me is the gateway to Mexico, Central America, South America. The other is, you know, that's obviously the location. The other is the size of the city and the amount of soccer fans here. So all of these things are things you take into consideration. Most every one of these cities bidding have pretty darn good infrastructure. I mean, we're the United States of America. When it comes to stadiums, there's no country in the world that matches our stadiums. Our MLS stadiums, by the way, I mean, top to bottom in MLS are as good as anywhere in the world. Okay, I know you're going to say, well, I'm not bringing in history or any of that stuff. I'm talking about the infrastructure of these stadiums. And to be honest with you, the Dynamo Stadium now, based on what we see coming into the league with Cincinnati and with LAFC, you know, you see the owner, Ted Siegel, he's trying to keep up. He's trying to add new additions to this stadium to make it a comfortable place for fans to go and add more bells and whistles. Because what you see rolled out all the time is it's off the charts. I'm playing professional soccer in the 80s. Nobody has a conversation about a stadium ever even being built for soccer. It's not even a thought. Think about that. It's not even a thought. And now you walk into these buildings, Cincinnati, you know, Charlotte, new stadium being done, Nashville. I mean, it's incredible. These places are phenomenal. They're phenomenal. Who wouldn't give their right arm or right leg to play in one of these buildings? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I mean, you've lived it, Andrew. You don't know anything but really good stadiums in MLS based on your age.
Robertson Stadium wasn't the nicest.
Oh, but Robertson was the best.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong.
Oh,
but...
well, isn't it about fun?
Oh,
don't
it
we have fun
is,
sometimes?
In terms of the amenities, was lacking in certain areas.
But you could tailgate anywhere. It was loose, and the players had to walk through the crowd pretty much to get on the field. See, I like that. And Atlanta United did that same thing. They came up with that concept where the players, I think, meet, and I'm not sure they're still doing this, but I think they do. They meet in a parking lot, they get bussed over, and then they have to walk through kind of a catwalk with fenced-off area with fans on each side. They sign autographs, they look their fans in the eye before going into their locker room and preparing for the big battle. I think there's something to be said about that. Looking your fan base in the eyes, signing autographs, seeing the support you get, then going into your building and preparing to go out and play for that person or that group of people or that stadium full of people when it comes to Atlanta United with 50,000.
Oh, and you know what else it does? It builds that relationship between the team and the fans even more. When you see them interacting and going through the fans on a game-in, game-out basis, it just further strengthens the relationship between a city and a team, which is something that unfortunately we've been lacking a little bit in the city over the past decade or so.
Yeah, our community outreach over the last 10 years, I won't get into how it was driven into the ground, but it was the consequence of non-soccer people making really big soccer decisions. You have to remember, these are not things you turn around easily, and that's why the new group that's inherited the team, Ted Siegel, the competitive side with Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, and everybody, it's a tough hole to dig out of. You still got a relationship build in the youth community. That's a tough area right now. All right, George Thorogood, right on, Josephine. I'm going to remind you here, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there, seek performance, find luxury. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Experience premier service tailored for you. Excellence isn't just offered, it's expected at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, I've gone through a number of cars down there. Leases, going through Well, we won't get into that, but I have gone through a few cars down there. I've leased, I've bought. You can go down there. You can hook up with the expert sales team. They'll help you find the perfect new, certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You'll discover something special. You'll discover a hometown advantage. San Jacinto and Gray, Advantage of BMW Houston.com. Our good friends at LamontBrands.com. Get the Soccer Matters t-shirt. Pat Onstad, Houston Dynamo General Manager, is up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
See, Andrew, you're always really good when you do music because you don't cut in like right in the big moment of a song like that. I didn't want to do that to Guns N' Roses. This is one of your great talents. I've always liked that because whenever somebody, like, you're right at the moment where the song is going to transition into something and you kill it, it just breaks my heart. All right, these are really important things. Hey, by the way, Marcelo, emotional farewell from Real Madrid. 34 years old, 546 appearances for Real Madrid. He joined in 2007. Only won 5 Champions League titles. Only was a part of 25 trophies. And then, of course, we saw them beat Liverpool 1-0 in Paris last month. One shot on goal. Marcelo says he's still undecided about his future. He is deflected going back to Brazil. His comments hint that he is more interested in staying in Europe. How about Marcelo to MLS? Should we start that? Ronny Dyla, the New York City FC, is headed to Standard Liège in Belgium. Bunch of number of very, very interesting things going on in MLS. It's that time of the month or time of the year where we're into the summer transfer window or getting there. So a lot of good things going on. Dynamo got a 1-0 victory over Atletico San Luis. They had a mixed squad. You want to run that Tyler Pascher goal? Let's revel in the beauty of this.
Pico, nice running here, Pascher. With a long touch, he could be gone here. Here's Pascher. Has a chance as 1-0 Houston Dynamo. He beats Andreas Sanchez. First goal in this Dynamo Charities Cup to Tyler Pascher and the Orange.
All right, so a big mixed squad that night. A lot of Dynamo 2 players getting opportunity. I think it was good all around. And they may have gotten more opportunities simply because there were a lot of people away on international duty. By the way, right now, if you are watching Mexico, or if you aren't and you're listening to this show, Jamaica has a 1-0 lead over Mexico right now. So there was a lot of rotation in that game between the Dynamo Atletico San Luis and it was good to see some of the younger players getting opportunity. Now, if you were still in the Rio Grande Valley, you would have had to fly these guys in, or you might not have brought them in at all. Now that you have an under-23 team, it's just a wonderfully beautiful thing. And better late than never is all I can say to that, because it's here now. And that is a really good thing. So, Thursday morning, I'm confident. No matter who you read or get a take from, they're all over the place. Houston's on the fringe. Houston won't get it because Dallas is getting it. Houston will get it because there's going to be 3 teams, Monterrey, Mexico, 3 cities that are going to get it right in a row that are close to each other for geographical purposes. I'm just going with hope and possibility. I'm going with confidence. We get it Thursday. We get it because of the great soccer city that we are. Not necessarily because we're going to make $1 billion or all the commercial stuff, but because of the size of the city, because we've got people from all over the world who have brought the game that they love here. And these are all pockets and authentic soccer fans that we certainly are still trying to attract when it comes to the MLS product. So this is why I'm going with we are going to get the World Cup here. Location, size, diversity of the soccer fans, and the thing that I'm going to love here is locals, fathers, mothers, taking their children to these games so you get this indelible moment of, you know, that you never forget. I mean, I go back to the World Cup final between the Netherlands and West Germany. I have no idea. I do have an idea of how important that meant to me. I still reflect on that game. I've gone back and watched it. My favorite player came out of that game, all that stuff. One of them I even ended up playing with when he was 37. So it's crazy. All right, let's go to the general manager of the Houston Dynamo. We got him now. He is Pat Onstad. Pat, thanks for coming on.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you on. Sorry for a couple of technical problems here, but we're going to fight through it. All right, Pat?
That's right. Hopefully you can hear me all right. I'm sorry. I'm just leaving the office, so I apologize. I'm not just sitting there any longer. But
yeah, no.
Hopefully this will work out.
I think you sound fine. All right, so let's just get you talking here. Let's go to the first 14 games. Maybe your take on the competitive side of the club after the 14 games under Paulo.
Yeah, I mean, our sole goal this year was pretty simple, and to make the playoffs. You know, we're in it right now, in the seventh spot. But what I would say is we're not where we want to be. Actually, so maybe I should have checked over this last weekend if we're still in it. But we're right then and there, and I think we do need to improve our points per game. We were having a discussion about that today, and you know, for us, our goal was to get to 51 points. You know, 2 points at home, 1 point on the road, and that would get us in the playoffs. We're not at that level yet right now. We still need to improve some more. So, but our biggest plan was to try to make sure we stayed in there and stayed in the hunt, knowing that we had Hector Herrera coming in early July. So, and we knew he would give us a big boost, not just technically, but also I think within the group and some belief in our guys. But I've been very happy with the way Paulo has managed his group, and it's been difficult for him, but he's done a great job to keep us in it.
Pat, I remember early in the preseason, the Austin FC game at home, and I'm relating this to what I saw or heard about with Austin FC and Pachuca. And Austin FC came in and you know, really took it to the Dynamo. I think they won 4-0. I don't remember the score. Paulo then made a pretty calculated decision to focus on the team shapes, focus on defending. I thought this was a stroke of brilliance. How much was that just about him, or how much is that about your entire technical staff talking? Because, you know, he righted the ship, at least from a defensive standpoint. That happened at a weird time heading into the season. So I thought that was something very smart.
Yeah, I think there's some moments always in the season that you kind of point back to in terms of, you know, what were those decisions, you know, where you hit a fork in the road and make a decision. And I think for all of us, and it wasn't just the technical staff, it was the players, it was, you know, the executive staff, and the technical staff, that really rocked us. That game hurt us a lot. We've made a lot of progress in preseason, and we felt very confident with where we were going, and I think that gave us a good knock back to reality of where we actually were and how much work we had ahead of us. And I'll give Paul and his staff a lot of credit. You know, they evaluated what they've done so far, and what they've been focusing on really was attack and how they're going to try to generate goal-scoring opportunities. And it had been working so far up to that point, and at that point it became pretty clear that if we weren't organized defensively, it was going to cause us some problems. The one thing we learned is, as a group, is we want to be a high-pressing team. It's something that both of us believe in, and certainly as a club, that's what we want to be, a proactive team, as we've talked about before. But that game kind of rocked us a little bit, and we became probably a little more pragmatic in what we want to do, and we've slowly tried to implement our press as we moved along. We're still not probably up in the high press area, but we're definitely not playing low block very often unless we have a nice lead like we did in L.A. But we like where we are defensively, but we still got some work to do.
Houston Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us here. I had Paulo on last week. It was a very, very good interview, very enlightening interview. He is referencing the final third a lot and what's going on there in the creation of chances and the want for more mobility and movement. You look at the numbers on Fafapiko, Tyler Pasher, Corey Baird, and to be fair, the effort's there, but on the other hand, the numbers aren't. How important is this area of the team?
Well, it's very important. I don't think it takes anyone really that far outside the team to take a look. And we unfortunately haven't been able to get the production. And part of that I'm sure is individual, but also I think part of it is are we putting these guys in the best places to succeed? But I know Paul was focused on that in his staff and the players as well. I got to give the players a lot of credit over these last 2 weeks when we've kind of had a break here. And I think we've done a good job of focusing on the final third and how we're going to be able to create goal-scoring opportunities. And I agree with what you said. The one nice thing, and you can say with Paulo, and you look at his group, there's lots of many nice things you can say with Paulo, but certainly from our group, it's not a lack of effort. The wide guys, Corey, Tyler, Fafa, Beto, these guys, they're putting the work in. And right now, for whatever reason, whether it's the final product in the end point or getting them enough service and getting them in good areas, we're not able to create enough in those areas. But I know they're working on it. It's not from a lack of effort.
Yeah, and, Eddie and I were talking on the AT&T Sportsnet broadcast that, look, you have a one or two better nights of execution at PNC. You got another 6 points, and the whole complexion changes, right? I mean, there was the Portland game that certainly was the Dynamo were the better team, just didn't produce goals in that game, and there was one or two others as well. So 6 points, that's swing.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously dropping points in Dallas in a winning position in the last 3 minutes, mm-hmm. and then losing the game, not only not drawing, but losing. We've had some tough moments so far. We've taken two on the chin, but I think that's what happens with a team that's learning how to win, learning how to close out games. There's definitely one point out, that I think we need to do a better job of as a group is to be more disciplined. We've had three red cards this year. And I think while we may feel hard done by on maybe Adams, the other two I think were avoidable. So I think as a group, we've got to do a better job and make sure we keep all 11 players on the field. I don't think anyone in our group felt we were going to be a Supporters Shield champion this year, but everybody, including the staff, all the way through the players, we all believe we're a playoff team. So for us, we're in it, but I think we still have a lot of work to do to get to where we want to go and to achieve that goal this season. And I know we can do it. I know we have the personnel and the players that can get us there.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onsat. By the way, the Dynamo on the road at Orlando City this weekend. That'll be an earlier start time, and you can catch that game on AT&T Sportsnet. So the Dynamo hit the road here at Orlando. Then they'll come home to Chicago and Shaqiri, which should be very interesting, June 25th. Then they go to Portland and then home to Charlotte. And then we start with the Texas Derby, July 9th, which could be a potential debut of Hector Herrera. And then the Dynamo will play also Minnesota on the 23rd. So, Pat, Paulo was on the show last week and mentioned the fact that there might be a player that gets over the finish line in the transfer window. Is there anything you can tell us about that potentially?
Not really. I mean, we're working at it. We want to make, enforce our squad, so to speak, and make it a stronger squad, but you never know these situations until you get it over the line, but we're working hard at it, trying to make sure we get some more reinforcements, in this summer window, and we want to get him in as soon as possible, so we'd like to get the deals done before the window opens, or at least have it here as soon as possible around that window. I think it's important to get them on the ground and try to get them, A, used to our style of play that we're implementing, but also get used to our climate, obviously. So it does take a little bit of time for guys to adapt when they come down here, as it does any environment. So the sooner we can get it done, I think the better.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onsat. Pat, I'm assuming based on the way Paulo answered the question, this would be an attacking player.
That would be the plan. I think we're pretty happy with our defense. I believe it's 17 goals we've given up this year. I think we've done a really good job. The guys have dug in, believe in one another. I think I think Steve Clark's had a good season for us. I think defending in the box has been excellent by our guys. So I think we've done a good job. You know, I think there's some areas that we've focused on that we can improve on, but for the most part, defensively, I think we've been pretty good. It'd be nice now to try to see if we can get that other component, that attack side, rolling now and see if we can start creating a few more opportunities for our group.
Now, I don't know if you want to reply to this, but I do need to ask a question simply because I know Dynamo fans have alerted me to this. But there was something about Fafa Pico being connected to a team in Liga MX. Is there any truth to this? Do you know anything about this?
I mean, I saw the tweet as well, so that was news to me, you know. So, but we'll, I don't know. I don't know if that was connected because we played San Luis the other day, but that was the first time I'd seen that. So
okay,
it's news to me.
Yep, he's Dynamo general manager Pat Onset. All right, let's talk about Hector Herrera now, Pat, because this is uncharted territory for everybody involved, and you know, the size of this player, you've made it really clear on this show, and I've talked to Efrain Flores, too, about his coachability and his ability to come in. And, you know, he's not going to have an entourage necessarily, and, you know, the whole thing with some of these other star players. But what are you guys as a club doing to prepare for his arrival? I know he's been in town. I know he's had physicals and things like that you mentioned. But what's going to be important to help with his transition and put him in a position to be effective from the word go?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons we had him in earlier. One, to get the physical out of the way, but also to have him look at some places where he'd like to live and take care of that as soon as possible to make sure that we hit the ground running and he's not living out of a suitcase in a hotel to begin with. He does have an entourage, though, by the way. He has a wonderful family with two kids, and he's excited to bring the family here. So I think that'll help get him going. They're going to come in for the first little bit and experience America for the first time. So I think it'll be exciting for him and his family when they come in here. And when you say how do we connect them, we have people in our staff that are going to look after him and make sure that he gets assimilated as quickly as possible. But the nice thing is there's a great technical staff, a great group of players that we'll welcome with open arms. And we know he's going to bring quality to our group and raise the standard for us as well.
Fantastic. Pat, you okay to sit with us through another segment and take phone calls, or is this too difficult a position for you?
No, absolutely. As long as you can hear me, then I'm good to go. Well, Glenn, I can talk with the best of them.
Yes, you can. You know, sometimes I like guests that will expand like you. You're doing a great job. We really appreciate it. It's great community outreach. We'll take a break, Pat. We'll come back with you again. If you want to talk to Pat Onset, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. We're going to take a break here. Before we go to break, though, I just want to remind you about Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. You head over to 2775 Fondren. Maybe Hector Herrera is going to go over there because they've got great modern contemporary furniture. Jan Christensen would set him up. DanishInspirations.com. Wide selection of the best in modern contemporary furniture. They've got the Stressless line. And he is the great Dane, Jan Christensen. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. It is a John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's the legendary Dick Dale. I got to tell you, I never forget the first time I saw this guy. I never heard this type of a sound, that surf sound. I got to see him about four times. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think, if he's not. And passed. Did a lot for the military, Dick Dale, out in California. 29 Palms is where he lived out in the desert. Very interesting guy. Welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you, as always, to our great friends at Lamont Brands. LamontBrands.com. You'll get your Soccer Matters t-shirt there. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity, who I saw today just doled out about $250,000 in scholarships to cancer patients. So a big props to the Snowdrop Foundation and, of course, to Lamont Brands. So you could wear it proudly, get the Soccer Matters t-shirt. All the proceeds, as I mentioned, go to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad back on the show. Thank you for waiting through that break, Pat. And let's continue with Hector Herrera and kind of just, you know, I know a lot of the fans are, well, he could play as an eight. I know Paulo said he could play anywhere in midfield. You know, many of us, including me, are kind of looking at him and going, wow, you put him in the six. He runs the show. You got three tough guys right in the middle there. It looks pretty good. His progressive passing. What do you say?
What do I say? Well, I say it's not my problem. It's Paulo's problem. But it's a nice problem to have. You know, I think with Mateus and Coco and Memo, we have some Darwin Shiren, you know, and then we have some young up-and-coming guys too. But it's exciting our group in midfield. I think we've got some really good players, and it'll be interesting to see what Paulo decides to come up with. But I know Hector's excited about playing with that group. He's excited about the next challenge, and I know for us, you know, we did a lot of work on our values, our core values as a group, as a club. And as a team of players and the staff all got together, and Hector embodies all those. You know, he's got a team first mentality. He's a guy that holds people accountable. He's a very respectful human being, and he wants excellence. You know, he wants us to be competing for championships. So that's why he's come here. So we're excited to get him into the group.
And obviously, you want to sign a guy that's going to raise the bar a couple rungs and lift other people and challenge other people to raise their game. And, you know, whoever's playing around him, and including everybody on the field, everybody at training every day, the game has to be raised, right? If not, we're not getting value out of his signing.
Exactly. And I don't think it's just on the field. I mean, on the field is first and foremost. I think we want to have a winner, and that's the biggest step. But I also think I want him to hold myself accountable. I want him to hold our executive group, you know, our front office, our, you know, community relations department. I want him to raise the standard of the club. I mean, I think he's going to do that naturally. That's who he is as a human being, and the level he's always competed. That's why he's the captain of the Mexican team. You know, I would say arguably right now their best player. So I think that's what we're hoping to get out of him, and he's embraced that. You know, our conversations that we've had, and in my broken Spanish and his broken English with the translators, is that we're excited to this challenge. And he's not here for the short term. He's not a guy that's, you know, he wants his family to be comfortable here. He wants to enjoy his time here. He wants to bring championships here, and he wants us to be you know, get us to a point where we're one of the top franchises in the league. So it's exciting to have someone who has that kind of vision, the same vision as we have as a club.
No question about it. Hector Herrera, coming from Atletico Madrid in Spain, for those listening in here tonight and some of those great authentic soccer fans that from around the world that make up Houston, Texas. Hector Herrera is coming to Houston to play for the Houston Dynamo. Okay, I saw that great photo op of you guys at the Astros game. Is there anything you can drop to my listeners that might have been fun that was said at that game, or any of the communication, or is that all you know, information?
Yeah, no. I mean, the one thing I thought was interesting is once that photo went up on the screen, we had about 15 minutes and we had to get out of there. But I thought it was interesting. It was for him, you know, he when he came in, you know, said, well, like, what would you like to do tonight? Would you go for a meal? And he's like, well, is there anything else? So it was a baseball game. He goes, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, uh-oh, we hadn't planned for that. So we didn't have a suite ready or anything for him. But, you know, we were lucky. We kind of hid in the corner for a while and then got spotted. But it was interesting watching him kind of observe, like, it's just a different sport for him. He's seen it, obviously. He's from Mexico, so he's seen baseball before, but all the stuff that's taking place between the innings, he was enamored by. I thought it was interesting. So he wanted the American experience. You know, first thing he said, hot dog and a beer, and he goes, well, I'll skip the hot dog, but let's have a beer. So it was nice. It was kind of relaxing for about the first five innings.
You know what, Pat, you just reminded me why we love soccer so much. We have no innings. We have no timeouts like basketball. We don't have people doing cartwheels on the field. You just reminded me of that.
I'm not going to badmouth any sports.
I'm not badmouthing them. I'm just badmouthing the breaks. I'm just badmouthing the breaks. I mean, you sometimes it's a circus. But anyway, I do like the continuity.
I love our sport. I love our sport.
The continuity of our game. You're making me look like I'm bashing baseball. You know, my niece is married to Derek Jeter. I got to pretend I love baseball. You know what I mean?
Just a little.
Okay. All right, so let's go back to Hector and just, you know, kind of anything else that he's talked about when it comes to positionally. And I know Paulo and I had this conversation, and he said that's going to be a conversation between all of them, and that Hector realizes that he's coming to a team where he may be needed in a specific place when it comes to midfield.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's open to it. You know, he wants to contribute to winning. So for him, it's where do you think is going to be the best fit for me? He's going to have his opinion as well once he gets to know the group and he gets to know the qualities of the players that we have around him. So he's the nice thing is he's actually been watching games and making comments about how our games have been going. And you know, he wasn't too happy with our last result in Salt Lake, but he also said it was interesting how you guys got 2 points with the Galaxy. You know, you beat Chicharito, so he was pretty excited about that. So he's kind of keeping track, and he's been watching us. So I think he'll have an idea and an opinion of where he fits, and so will Paulo, and the two of them will have to hash it out and figure out what's best for the club. But the nice thing about Hector, and this is kind of a sidebar, and of course I'm hogging the time as usual, but. I don't know if anyone got a chance. People should Google it. It was his goodbye at Atletico Madrid. So yes. He and Luis Suarez in their last home game, they did this nice ceremony and everything. And what you could actually see from that is you could see the influence he has on his teammates and not only his teammates, but the staff and the club. So as he's walking out, half the teammates are giving him big, long hugs. And then he gets to the staff, and almost every staff member to a man just gave him this huge embrace, like, I'm really going to miss you. And that just shows the quality of the individual we're getting. And we're very fortunate to have him come to us. And I think that's the point that we're really excited about, is we know he's a guy that cares about the people that are around him, you know, whether it's the equipment manager all the way up to, you know, the head coach. He cares about his teammates, and this is exactly the type of player that we need in our locker room.
Well, Pat, we're talking to Pat Onstad here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. And we got a caller here now. I don't think this is Memo Rodriguez, but his name is Memo, and Memo wants to talk to you about Hector Herrera. So, Memo, go ahead. You're with the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Great to be here. Just a quick question, because you're a manager. What kind of leadership and impact are you looking from Hector Herrera?
Yeah, that's a good question, because in the end, we have, you know, we have natural leaders within our group. We have a leadership council that has kind of chosen itself within our locker room, and I think... you know, for Hector, I don't think he's the type of guy that comes in and says, hey, listen, I need to be the captain of this team. That's not who he is. He leads by example, and he's been around the game long enough, and he's been captain in enough clubs that he knows for him, he's going to fit in where it makes sense. But what I think the question, Memo, you're asking, really, and I think it's a good one, is what will he bring and what are we hoping he's going to bring? And for us, I think we're hoping he's going to bring a different level of professionalism that we've seen, but I also think holding people accountable. I mean, he's going to have a little bit of street credibility, hopefully, as soon as he walks in the locker room playing at the level he has. But that should help our group. Well, you know, when Hector says, hey, listen, I think you need to be in this spot when this happens, our guys should be, okay, that makes sense, and that's where I need to be, you know, and he'll be an extension of what Paulo's looking for on the field. And I think, you know, Paulo's has worked really hard at defining our game model, especially over these last couple of weeks when he's had a little bit of time to work with these guys, and the games have been coming fast and furious. And I think he'll be in a great extension of what Paulo was trying to preach for these guys. And I think it'll be a good match for the two of them. So I'm excited to see what he brings. But that's the type of leadership I think we see him holding with our club.
Thank you, Memo. We appreciate that question. Good answer from Pat as well. Thank you, Pat. Let's move to Hector Herrera and maybe some of the ways people look at him. And I get the sense some people think he's, you know, more of an asset defensively, which I disagree with 180 degrees. I think he's a progressive passer of the ball. I think he's got a range of passing. Tell me what you think and what that type of passing that he can provide, breaking lines and things, can add to the team and potentially, you know, alter your midfield a little bit positionally and personnel-wise to your advantage.
Yeah, I think actually a good pitcher. I know with Tata, he holds him a little bit deeper in the way he plays, and Simeone did a little bit as well, although he gave him a little more free reign to step forward into midfield and some more of an eight at times when they attack. But I think with Mexico, that's what they need. They need a stable force and a guy that can connect and progress the ball in the attack with Mexico. So he plays that role with Mexico. With us, it remains to be seen exactly what sort of role he'll offer. But I think the Ecuador game was a really good picture of what he can provide offensively. You know, he played a couple of fantastic balls from you know, fairly high up in midfield, but not in a 10 position, more of an 8 position. And he's penetrating these passes behind the line and creating opportunities. But a great ball to Raul Jimenez, you know, had an opportunity to finish it. And that's what he can create for us. And I think in our league and what he has, he brings another element. You know, if you have, now you have Mateus who can spray the ball around a bit, and you have Coco now in a higher spot. Memo can play balls through, and Hector can play balls through, and, you know, DQ as well. The more guys that we have are a threat to play balls behind, the more dangerous we become as a club. And, we certainly know we need to become a little more dangerous offensively, and I think we can do that with him.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, yeah, I mean, a lot of teams holding a high line in Major League Soccer. I think Hector Herrera is going to identify that and hit some balls that will turn defenses. Yeah. I'm going to go to the bank on that one, Pat, I think. I think I'm going to go to the bank
and
on
listen,
that
one. And we're going to have to stretch the line, too. I mean, it's our responsibility. It's one thing if a team stays up high, but, you know, we need our wide players to run behind. We need Sebastian occasionally to stretch the line as well and Thor. So, you know, we still have some work to do in finalizing that and defining that. But I think everybody knows we've got to start threatening teams a little bit more and create more goal-scoring opportunities for our group.
Pat, you're a champion. Thank you for staying on with us for two segments here tonight. Wonderful stuff. Great information for all of our listeners and myself. And we thank you very much. We'll let you get home.
No, I appreciate it, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's the one and only Pat Onstad. And, boy, some great stuff there about Hector Herrera and all things Houston Dynamo, so we appreciate that. Right now, Mexico and Jamaica 1-1 down in Jamaica. That is Nations League. As we know, there were a ton of games both in Europe and in CONCACAF. Big shout-out here to Davey Arno, by the way, former Dynamo assistant, but Sporting Kansas City from Nederland, Texas. Sporting put him in the Hall of Fame this past weekend. You could not meet a nicer guy than Davey Arno and a guy of integrity. Well, maybe Pat Onstad. I don't know. I mean, those are two beauties right there. But Davey Arno used to come to Houston when we were doing these kick cancer clinics, and he was phenomenal. He would donate his time. Left college early at West Texas A&M under Butch Laufer, who used to be a youth coach in Houston, who's been a longtime coach at West Texas A&M. All right, we'll take a break. We're coming back with more. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.